If you have your Bibles this morning, I got somebody watching. I guess this is somebody watching from Wasaga Beach. God bless you. Probably Pastor Dave, if that's Pastor Dave watching. Come on home. Forget about that business. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I want you to look at a couple of openings. I heard there was a really good message. I don't know how I'm going to top that from last week. It's a very, very good message. Very interesting, very interesting man as well. We want to look at a couple of two openings for now. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and then go to Isaiah 43 and 18 and 19. Last Sunday we were at Victorious Faith Ministry Church over in Kettle Point First Nation, and we were able to do the program online. So if you want to see the program online, you go ahead and go to Victorious Faith. But also, I think I'm going to add it to my Facebook today, or add it to something. I'll add it to whatever. And get. I heard the Leafs are winning. Three or four people are happy? Oh, okay. You don't really care. The rest of you don't really care. But us, it just diverts our attention a little bit. It's a little bit of a happy times once in a while. Amen? And so it's good to have that. And we have a legitimate superstar, I guess, right? And Matthew, what's his name? Vic Matthews? Austin Matthews. In fact, I bought a sweater. Next time we go to Minneapolis, I got a sweater. And I'm going to wear that. And somebody can have my other big one. Have a big one. Praise God. Hey, I lost 5 pounds. Praise God. I told my wife I'm going to lose 5 pounds. Usually gain weight when you go. But most of the trips I've been going now, the purpose is not to eat so much. And I said, I'm going to cut my meals in half. So whenever we went somewhere, we went for a steak, I cut that steak in half. And then I saved it for nighttime. Well, that doesn't work, right? But anyway, I gave my wife whatever I ate. I gave her some, and so that's why she got pudgy. So she didn't lose weight. I lost weight. I must have gave it to her. So I gave her my extra food. No. So anyway, where is she? Did she leave me? Okay. Yeah, so we had a wonderful time. Pastor Murray, he's such a wonderful pastor. He just took care of us. And we were in London. He booked me a room in London. We sometimes go to Sarnia to get the room, and we travel to Kettle Point. It's about an hour drive from there. Pastor Ken would be 45 minutes. So we was able to stay there. And we were going to book a room because it's a long day. You know, I had to do a meeting in the evening. So they gave us Jig's dinner. Pastor's wife made dinner that day. You know what Jig's dinner is?
Yes.
It's a special meal prepared by the Newfoundlanders, and it's all special food. They make cook it in a certain way. So we were privileged to have that a second time, Pastor Steve. Twice at your house, I think, once, and then again over here. So we had a wonderful time eating that, and it was great. But we didn't get an extra room that day because that would be kind of spending $130 again. And so they would be, not me. But we were able to sleep in church. So we slept in church, in the office, in the pastor's office. So we had a nice couch there, slept there. Just a wonderful time, snoozing. So I think I'll put a couch in my office, and it'll be nice. So if you want to come sleep, you let me know. I think the next time Mark Davey comes, I'll put him in my office. Let him wash his face and feet in a sink there. So, but no, I have actually a nice setup there. The boys set me up in my office, and they have put in a nice shower there, which I haven't used yet. So maybe I should, right? So anyway. So praise God, the Winter Bible Seminar is coming up. Those of you that want to come to Winter Bible Seminar, it's in February, middle of February. Hey, I can tell my ADHD or whatever you call that coming up. 40 years. Stand up, brother. This is a 40 year, what it looked like when you're 40 years old. He's 40 years old yesterday? Tomorrow. Okay, 40 years old. Let's go ahead and give him a hand. Praise God. Bless you. And they have, they're having a brand new facility opening up on Johnson Avenue. And so a nice big place. They're going to have a good store. I sent you some pictures of a store over in down east there. Beautiful store, good setup. So actually smells pretty good and looks good. All the stuff is excellent shape. So I believe this is going to be for you guys as well. So progress is happening, right? So dreams do come true. Glory to God. Hey, everybody, how are you guys doing? Anybody happy already for 2017? Glory to God. We're going to get that work to be done, our call center. How many of you guys are going to help call center? Let me see your hand if you're going to be an operator. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you, I guess, so far. But it's going to be good. You're going to get some time to minister to somebody and talk to them, pray for them, and you'll do a great job. So last week, I heard there was a message called Fresh Start. Oh, it was good, I heard. Praise God. And we're gonna carry on the tradition of what he started. So it's a fresh start, so we all got to get a fresh start. So we're going to talk about looking back. And that's not all about looking back, but we're going to talk about looking back. So we're going to talk about how, why don't we just get into the message anyway. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul is talking. You know, Paul is writing a letter here from Philippians. He was actually writing a letter from jail. And he's put in jail. And he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting," everybody say forgetting. Forgetting, "forgetting those things which are behind," say behind. So he says, my purpose here, one thing I'm going to do, that's what we have to do this year, one thing we're going to do is we got to forget the past. Amen. If we're going to have a fresh start. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, the next part is this. Reaching forth. Everybody say reaching forth. Reaching forth. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. So two things you have to do. One is you're going to have to learn to forget the past. Secondly, we're going to have to reach forth. Now, reaching forth doesn't always come that easy. Reaching out, there's an extension. You're going to have to be motivated. You're going to have a thirstiness, a hunger for what's ahead of you. You need to find something. And I'm going to tell you something exciting. That is that reaching forth for those things comes when you begin to see what God has in store for you. Amen. And it's easier to reach out when you know God has the plan. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah 43 says the same thing, and I believe that Paul quotes Isaiah a lot in his writings. And, you know, like we quote people that we enjoy listening to and talking to and admire their life because they have something to tell you. And Paul quotes Isaiah a lot, but I want you to notice something a little extra what Isaiah said here, and that is that as we sang this morning, that God, for this new year, can and will do, and if you're willing, will have impossible things happen and come your way that shouldn't be in the natural. I think some people are not getting that because this is important. Now God can do these things because you can only say amen with enthusiasm if you see the Bible and you get excited about it. You know the Bible works for us when we get excited about the word. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Thank you for that one. Amen. "Remember ye not the former things." That's saying the same thing what Paul said, because Paul is being quoted there, or at least he's being quoted by Paul. "Remember ye not the former things." Now, God is telling you something. This is not Isaiah talking. This is not Paul talking. This is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God talking through these men. Amen. And God is talking to you. He's saying, don't get stuck on thinking about the past. He said, neither consider the things of old. You know, the good old days we like to reminisce about, but it's not that so good old days. People talk about, I know in my culture, talk about, oh, I wish we had the, you know, those things. Well, I remember the good old days wasn't so good. I don't like getting up in the morning trying to make fire. I like going to turn my thermostat up and making the fire come like that. Instead of hauling the water, I just turn the tap on. Instead of going to the outhouse, I go to my little room up there and do my business. Whatever you have to do. So, good old days ain't so good. Some of you are not following this morning. You're just sleepy. So, no. Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now, people read that. They don't consider that much because God says he's always up to something new. God's always want to do something new in your life and get something going in your life. I'm going to help you out this morning. This word is going to help you. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way. Notice this. I will even make a way in the wilderness. There is no roads in the wilderness. But God says where there's no road to where your destination should be, and how you can find a place to where you should go, God is going to find a way for you to get there. Amen. Amen. Because we look at our own resources, and we look at the resources of other people. And we say, how can they help me? How can I help myself? I'm limited. I only have so much resourcing. But God says, I'll find a way for you. He also says this, I will make a way in the wilderness, I will make rivers in the desert. Well, the desert has no rivers. It's an impossible thing to have rivers in the desert. But God says, I'm going to make a river there. I'm going to make sure there's going to be a river there for you, for your livelihood, for your refreshing, for you to get washed up and cleaned up. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say amen out there? Something's going on in the realm of the spirit. We were having a fresh start. I'm just following up what Pastor Steve said. He's got the goods. Now, I want to say, to propose this idea to you this morning, you can't move ahead always looking backwards. If you're always making excuses of why you are like the way you are, because of mama and papa, because I come from the res, or because I live in a small town, and because I don't have this, I don't have that, then you're looking back. We need to look up. He says there, or I said this, you can't drive ahead always looking in your rear view mirror. You can't drive right in the car, especially if you go to, you might do it a little bit here and Thunder Bay. But I'm in big cities like Toronto and all these places and driving a four-wheel a lot. You can't drive looking in your rearview mirror. You have to watch as cars going by. You're thinking you're driving fast, 120, 130 people just going by you like you're standing still. And you have to be exuberant and smile. hallelujah. Anybody... is there anybody new here this morning from another planet? No. No, if you're new from another, this is your first time in church, blessings, brother. Thank you so much for coming. Let's give this guy a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming this morning. I know sometimes, I see faces but I don't always remember the name. So I don't always forget faces. Like Groucho Marx used to say, I never forget a face, but in your case, I'll make an exception. I like watching the Marx Brothers. I do that all the time. I still have I buy all their collections, and I watch them when I'm having a hard time. I remember having a hard time. Somebody showed me Dumb and Dumber for the first time years and years ago, and I went home and watched that movie, and I cried laughing. The other show was... Pastor Hagin told us about this movie. He went to a movie, It was called, what was it called again? Napoleon Dynamite. How many of you have seen Napoleon Dynamite? Okay, I'm going to tell you guys, you need to go and see Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah? Take this. And so, it's a really funny movie. I would say go and see it. I mean, or at least get it, and it's funny. It's everything that you did when you were a kid, or the way you think. So, to introduce just a little bit further, God has plans for us, and we have to look ahead expectantly for His plans to materialize for His purposes and for our good. For His purposes and our good. No matter what's going on in your life right now, if you just purpose to connect with God in everything and all your life, and everything is going to work out. Just like the Apostle Paul said, he said, I know, this is the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28. He said, I know that all things, everybody say all things. All things work together for good to them that love God. Loving God doesn't mean you have an emotional responsiveness to His, you know, goodness. Loving God means you're obeying Him and you're doing what He says to do. Jesus said to His disciples in John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Your love for another person is demonstrated in what you do for them. Are you here? Yes. See, love is expressed and love is seen in action. It needs to be expressed in what we do. If you love something, you'll spend time with it. So, you know, it says in here, it's going to work out for you if you love God. That means if you follow what He does, what He said to do. If you keep His commandments. His commandments could be anything He's told you to do. Like go to church or pray more. Or do this a little bit more. You don't have to have this all the time to obey God. You have to follow the Spirit on the inside of you that's telling you what to do. Amen. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We all have a purpose in God. Everybody does. We all have something to do with Him. He's our dad. You know, He says that we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is the closest word to daddy. The word Abba is the closest word to daddy. We say, daddy, daddy. You know, that's who our Father God is. He's our daddy. He cares everything about us, every detail about our lives. And so, but we can't just nostalgically look back and reminisce about what could have been and how things were so wonderful in the past. That's what keeps people back from moving ahead. The story of the Israelites is a good lesson for all of us to consider when looking back and not looking forward and obeying God and going into the promised land. The promised land symbolizes everything good that God wants you to have. They look back, these Israelites did, as we'll see in a moment, and they didn't get what God had planned for them. See, God has a good plan. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 tells us that God has a good plan. He planned good things for us. Just like you, when you plan good things for your children and they don't follow through, so you couldn't give them those good things that you wish for them to have. God has planned for us good things, and all the bad things that happen to you is not God trying to teach you something. It's you trying to teach yourself something and teaching you something that not doing what you want to do always leads to disaster. See, a lot of people put up things and make some religious idea that God put this in my way to teach me a lesson. Yes, you are learning a lesson, but God didn't put that there. That's crazy thinking. That's demonic thinking. That bad things are happening. Oh, God's sending this bad. No, He never sent you no sickness. He never sent you to lose money. and have a bad relationship? Thank God, it's quiet in here now. Got you thinking. Are you doing okay?
Yes.
Praise God, Daddy's home. I know my sons are doing okay. So, the path of the just, everybody say the path of the just. Now, there is a path of the just, and there's the path of the unjust. There's two paths. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to heaven, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many are walking on it, just doing whatever they want to do. That's not how it works in your house, does it? You can just do whatever you want to do. Come and eat anytime you want. Come and sleep whenever you want. Just do whatever you want to do. Bring over whoever you want. No, we have rules. Right? I hope you have rules. So there's a right path and a wrong path for all of us to follow. There's a specific path for the just person or the person that follows God, which leads to a bright future. There's also a path for the unjust that leads to a destructive life. Proverbs 4:18 says this, but the path of the just, the word just means the righteous or those that have been declared righteous by God through faith in Christ Jesus. The path of the just are as a shining light. Shining light. He says in there, that shines more and more unto a perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. It's saying this in very just, saying this. There are brighter days ahead when you walk with God.
Amen.
Everybody said there's brighter days ahead. So it should get better. Everything should be clear to you as you walk with God. The more you walk with God, how many people understand this? When you walk with somebody in the natural, like your wife or husband, you get to know them. You get to understand them. And if they say things that you got offended, you might understand them more than you would someone else. You wouldn't even pay attention to certain things anymore because you understand those people or that person. We don't have as much fights as we used to do, as particularly in the first 2-3 years of our marriage, we had lots of fights. And it was always because of Anita. Okay, sorry, honey. No, it was all because of me, actually. Because I was more, antagonistic, I guess. So she taught me a lot of things. And I learned a lot about my insecurities while being with my wife. I never knew how insecure I was until I met my wife. And I realized I had to be secure. My wife knew how to make me more secure, help me to be secure. A lot of you men can say amen because you probably were the same way I was. And I didn't realize a lot of these things. And I didn't realize how much hang-ups I had because of what I grew up in. I was able to handle these certain things. We're a whole lot better today. And when God puts you together, He does it for a reason. My wife and I, God put us together. And God had to speak to me. He said, this is your wife. It's nice to know that. I don't have to try to make her love me. You know? I don't try to do all the nice things. But I'm a nice guy anyway. And she loves me. I'm so sweet all the time. And so, because, you know, when you love somebody, you want to please them. You want to love them. And they're special, and there's nobody like them. Yeah. I remember the first time I treated my wife very roughly, and the Lord spoke to me very quickly, sharply. He says, you do not treat my daughter like that. You know how many people understand this? God sees your children as His children.
Yeah.
The Scripture talks about that. God sees your kids as His very own. Because in a coveted relationship, what's yours belongs to them, and what's yours belongs to... Oh, yeah, whatever. I'm getting mixed up here. It's ownership and covenant, right? But don't try that at home with some people. They like to be stingy. So, okay, let's go on. So there's a shining light. It's bright days ahead. It means progressiveness. It means that you're getting stronger. It means everything's getting gooder and gooder all the time. We serve a God of increase. When God says, I'm going to do a new thing, He's talking about increasing you. He says in 1 Corinthians, In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says that he wants us to increase in every way. He will increase us if we take the next right step. There are so many steps to follow, and God, he will show you what to do next. He is the God of increase. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who gives the increase? God does. It's good when you're around people who are doing what God wants to do to help you in your life, and God will give you increase when there's a Paul and Apollos in your life. It's good to have a Paul and Apollos in your life because they give you the word. They'll tell you the same thing. Paul and Apollos weren't telling them something different. They were telling them the same word of God. And as they observed God and as they begin to take action, God gave them increase. So then neither is Paul he that planted anything, neither he that waters, but God gives the increase. He says that twice. So God wants to increase you. He wants to increase you to get to a better place, the better position. God will bring increase not only to you personally, but to your family this year. You have to expect good things about your family, about your children, your grandchildren. I had such a wonderful time with my grandbaby boy. His name is Sammy. I love him. And I want to show him off a lot of times that this is my baby boy. It's my boy, you know. And I want to show him on there, but I don't want to do it too much because you kind of brag too much. I don't mind, you know. I hate when people do it with their family, but I like it when I do it with mine. Amen. We all have our special things. So my son Josh and my daughter-in-law Alana, she's a wonderful lady. God blessed me with a beautiful daughter, and she is so wonderful. Just lovely. Just like my wife. Just so their spirits are the same way. So God knew what kind of wife to give my son. He's like, he needs to be calmed down, and he's got like a 4.0 in his studies. So he's a very sharp boy, but not sharper than me. He's getting there. So God wants to increase us and our children in every aspect of life, and we need to believe that today. Decreasing is not his will. Going backwards and getting less and failing and all that stuff, that's not God's plan. Decreasing is not for us. It's not in his will. When things will look better, things will look up when we look up to him. It says here, Psalm 115, verse 14, the King James says, the Lord shall increase you. Shall is the strongest assertion you can make in the Bible. It's not maybe. It's not perhaps. It's not there's a percentage that he'll do it. He said, shall, it means for sure, praise God. Amen? He said, he'll increase you. God, the Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children. Glory to God. How many of you got children? God wants to increase you. Wants to increase you. Wants the increase not only just for you. It's not good just for your kids seeing you increase. God wants to increase them too. Help them to be successful in everything they do. Confess that over them. Isaac was so blessed of increase. You know, Isaac, Abraham's son, was so blessed that everybody noticed it. Oh, he's increasing. Look at him. He's got a new Honda. Or whatever car you drive. Look at him. Look at him. Look at his house now. He's got another house. And he's taking a vacation to Italy or somewhere. Where's that Italian man that used to be here? Joe, where's Joe? We need to find Joe. If you're watching, we need you back here. So, you know, God, it's important for us to see what happened to Isaac is an example to us. God increased Jacob in an extremely low time economically. See, we look at economics, thank God we can make plans, but just because it's low economically, if God tells you to do something, he's going to help you through the hard time. The Bible says even in famine, you'll flourish, the scripture says. Read that. It's in the Bible. He said he went forward and he grew. He increased. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go forward to get growth, to increase. He kept going forward so much that the world around him began to notice him and began to envy him. He was the talk of the town, talk of his country. Look at that man. He increased so much that the ungodly envied what he had and what had happened to his life. With no help from the government or any subsidies from anybody, even in rough times, he still increased. We and our children should get better and better and increase even in tough times. Amen. Notice this, Genesis 26, 12 and 14. And Isaac sowed in the land and received in that same year 100-fold. 100-fold means maximum yield. 100-fold doesn't mean you give one and you get 100 back. It means for that particular time, you get the best there is possible to increase. Thank God for that, right? In that same year, 100-fold, and God blessed him. The word blessed also means to be envied or to be favored. People should look at us and say, I envy that guy. I wish I had what he had. You have to say, not even. You got to be like, follow God. That's what we say at our reserve too. Not even. I like with the, you know, I watched that clip so many times to show everybody about, Sterling. You know, driving, and this young lady over here, you know, and I watch it over and over and over. And what are you guys watching? What are you guys laughing at? He says, oh, you look awful. The guy has like 15,000 views in like 2 days. Praise God. You should sign up somewhere. God blessed him, and he waxed great and went forward. Everybody say he went forward. See, he was blessed, and he went forward. Say he went forward. God doesn't want us to go backwards. He wants us to go forward. He said he went forward, it says here, and grew until he became very great. He had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. The Philistines are those people that don't have God in their lives. You know, people will wonder and look at you when you follow God, because there's a lot of people who are Christians. They don't follow God, they're just born again. They're going to heaven, but they're getting beaten black and blue by the devil and circumstances of life, and not having any victory in life doesn't even seem like they're saved. But it's when the Christian follows God and they're blessed and they're just looking sharp and smelling good. Even they went through the fire, they still smell good. There's no smell of smoke on them, and they're good. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's good. So during the bad times, God will increase you no matter what's going on all around you or in your life. Even in negative times and economic turmoil, you can increase because God is with you. Increase so much that people will admire you and envy what you have, what's going on in life. You will go forward in spite of things going on. They'll tell you, how can you do this in this time? Backwards, not forwards. You have to obey God or you go backwards. not automatic. It's not automatic things. Just because someone gave a prophetic word, they say, oh, you know, Kenneth Copeland gave a prophetic word. This is the year of so-and-so. Or Jerry Savelle gave a certain word today. Oh, this is going to be a year of this and that. And they don't even partake in it because they never obey God. The word of God, prophetic words are conditional. The word of God is conditional based on your obedience to follow God. So just because someone said something prophetically doesn't mean it's automatically going to fall on us. We have to obey God. We have to expect and prepare ourselves to do whatever God tells us to do. And that's why it's confusing, because people don't understand that. You have to obey God. So you have to take special measures. Steps forward. Jeremiah 7:23 says this, because of moving backwards, we move backwards because of disobedience or not following through what God says. But the thing I command thee, saying, obey my voice. Everybody say, obey my voice. And I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. We like to have things go well for us. We like it when we have our bodies well, our mind are well, our emotions are stable. We like it when we don't have, you know, turmoil, internal turmoil. We like it when we're steady and strong. He said, all will be well with you, but they hearken not. Look at, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward. So doing your own thing, as we say, this is my life, I can do whatever I want to do with it. No, if you're born again, no, your life is really not your own. It belongs to God. And because if you follow him anyway, it's going to be the best thing you ever think of doing. So, you know, especially when churches, you know, God brings you to churches, you don't pick your church. God picks it for you. Right? And that's why people get into a lot of trouble, because they just, I like it here because they got television. Or they got, beautiful pews or something. Well, I like the singing. You don't go to church because you like the singing. It's a nice part of it if you like the singing, but you go there because God called you there. And, you know, a lot of times when God calls you to do something and that maybe you don't like, you're going to learn something about yourself when you work with people that you don't really mesh with. It tells you that you have to do some conforming and some admission that maybe you're not all that perfect as you thought you were. And that's what comedians do. Right? Because we say, well, I'm a good Christian. Let me see how a good Christian you are. Come work in Faith City Church for a while and work with Sterling or whoever. You know, because we think, you know, we're good. People say, I'm a good Christian. I'm just as good as those people down the church. No, you're not. If you start working here for free as a volunteer and you're working with people you don't necessarily like, we'll see how of a good Christian you really are. And your personality clashes with that person. And we realize that God says that we have to live in peace as much as possible with us when we're working with people. Isn't that the truth? And I always tell God, you know, Lord, why don't you send me some nice people? Send me somebody who's fully furnished with everything else and so conforming and everything, so giving and loving. Send me those people. They always went to the next church. And never stop by here. Well, no, seriously, you know what? You guys are the best people I've ever met. Absolutely wonderful. Hallelujah. I'm serious about that. And, it's because we're working together. We're learning to work together. And I realize I'm not the best preacher and the best singer. And, you know, whatever it is, I'm just me. Somebody said to me, you know, my wife told Varian, make sure you clip this off, edit this thing out, make sure you edit these kind of things out. And somebody said, I watched the program just to see how Pastor Roma does these just stupid things. You know, we want to be so professional. You know, like when I get on there and say, okay, so what's this? This is not working. This is not working. Is that working over there? They said, they like that. It's not so polished, right? So anyway, it's nice not to be perfect. It's hard being perfect. We just don't do our own thing and expect our plans to all work out. We don't just plan what we want to plan and say, God blessed it. That's not how it works. Huh? You say, well, I'm going to just, you know, there's some things God lets you do, like go eat ice cream or something. That doesn't hurt anybody. But there, God, you know, Jesus said, if we look back, we don't qualify. We're always looking back. We don't qualify to serve him. So we have to qualify. It's not a matter of convenience when we do things for God or follow God. It's not a matter of how skillful you are and how wonderful you are. God will pick somebody who is not as qualified and wonderful as you are and find somebody who can actually teach. It's easier to find somebody who's not that qualified and teach him if he is open-minded, has an open heart and willing to do whatever God wants him to do, than somebody who has all everything ready. They don't want to change. So in Luke 9:57, we started there. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, this sounds like someone like us, right? I will follow you wherever you go. We always say that when we get saved, and God says, go do this. No, I don't want to do that. Huh? I will follow you wherever you go. Wherever you go. That's a dangerous thing, man, to tell God. Foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You think he said that in a nice way to that person? He's saying, you know what, hey, I'm going to take you. It's not going to be that convenient where I'm taking you. Right, Cindy? I'm going to bring you to Thunder Bay. We took her out from a warm climate, brought her here. She's working here, and her wife. Him is his wife. She doesn't have a wife. Ken and his wife here, you know. But you know what? They're here. God brought them here for a reason. If not anything else, I know for me. I could say for me. God brought Cannon here for me. And I got a whole bunch of new friends because God brought Cannon here. That's his name, Cannon. A man loves me, and I love Pastor Ken. You know, and it's amazing how what happened. He's like my brother. That's why I'm trying to grow a mustache. Look like him. I'm going to shave all my head up here. He said to another person, to another person, come follow me. Jesus is calling you. Come follow me. The man agreed. How many people know that agreeing with God is just not enough? Amen. The man agreed. But he said, Lord, first let me return home, bury my father. Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. But your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. As important as that was, Jesus told him, what kind of a person is that? Would Jesus say that to someone? He knows what priorities are important. Another, he said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me say goodbye to my mama, my daddy, my family. Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, God calls us to do something, and we're so looking back all the time about what's important to us. You know, God understands that when he calls you. It's not okay to be lazy and sloppy when we're working with God. We can't be begging people at Faith City Church to work in the ministry here. We can't just say, please work for us. Please work in the ministry. No, Y'all should be saying, well, what is it you want me to do, Pastor? I know I like doing this, but whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'll do anything, just like these guys in here. I know I like working with, singing, but if you want me to pray, I'm going to pray. That's how I'm going to look forward. That's my next assignment will come when I start obeying God. And part of God's plan is have me in your life. Pastor Roma is not here just because I wanted a career in pastoral ministry. I'm here because I obeyed God. Yeah. And it wasn't convenient for me to leave my career and all the things that come along with that and come and work as a pastor in my own community. The backlash and all the things I've felt and all the, looking glass, glass bottle I lived in, people look at me. It's not always that easy when you're 24 hours, people watching whatever you do and criticizing, saying whatever they want to say about you. But I don't really care anymore. I don't care. I mean, people, I used to care about, who coming out of detox. Somebody was watching the video the other day and saw this guy. Is that Jerry in the front row? I said, yes, it's Jerry. He said, woo! I'm going to start watching that program. I'm serious. I'm serious. That's what my daughter used to say, Natasha. I'm serious, Dad. So it's a privilege and an honor to serve God. It really is a privilege and honor. We see little things that we do around the yard, clean the floor. That's not insignificant to God. That is so important, to clean the bathrooms. First John Ministry was one of the first things we gave Sandra Monroe around here. First John Ministries is cleaning bathrooms. So she cleaned bathrooms. I watched her clean bathrooms and clean. And she would hand me $100 every once in a while. Paid me to work there. And every once in a while, Sandra still sends me money. Pastor, here's $100. Regularly. She knows what it's like to grow up in a pastor's home. She grew up in a pastor's home. She sends me money, and I feel tears come in my eye because this girl is blessing me. Single mom. Sending me $100 on a regular basis. Not just once in every blue moon, but a regular basis. Sending me $100. Somebody sitting in my church, paying me to work here and working, doing whatever it has to do. That's the kind of people that God brings here. Before we were leaving the city the other day, someone handed me $1,000 to pastor. We know we needed the money. Nobody knew we needed the money. We were broke when we had to leave here for 2 weeks. Somebody else come and just gave me, I think it was Nathan, hands me $150. Said, Pastor, here, here's $150. Pastor Ken hands me $300. We had no money, and we had to leave town to do something very important to us. We had zero. And we had to pay a lot of debt somewhere that wasn't ours. So we went out. But God brought us back. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you, the kind of people that God brings here, they know when you need something. They look at me and say, man, is he ever doing great? They don't know what I'm doing. They don't know how much money is coming to me personally. Most people make more money than I do, working, cleaning rooms or something. But we do it. We act like we're all okay because we live by faith. Amen. That's what we do. Last year, about this time, I had to lay off myself and all our pastors in this church because there's no money came in. Because people in here weren't obeying God, giving what they're supposed to give. Amen. And we had to do it out. My wife had to do it out. These people had to do it out. And the other pastors had to do it out because we didn't have money for about 3 or 4 months. And that's why we had to go work somewhere else. Because when other people obey God, we get blessed. You know, it's something else, serving God, coming to serve God and working in the ministry. Now, I'm telling you this, not because to feel sorry for me. I'm telling you what we work, what we do here. We don't do it because of nostalgia, for wonderful accolade. We do it because we obey God. Amen. These people from Rhema grew up in the same daddy, and we know that it's not always going to be like this. But sometimes we have to suffer a little bit to get somewhere, so somebody can have something. Don't you suffer for your children when you do something? Well, that's what pastors do. Real pastors do that. Some leave town, and we saw a lot of people leave town because they wouldn't do what we're doing right here. I know one pastor's wife told us, I'm not staying here because there's no Walmart here, and went back to the States. Well, Walmarts, we've got 3 or 4 Walmarts coming out of our ears now in here. Some people say there's no Timmy's. There's Timmy's everywhere. But because we obey God, see, we go to bed at night knowing that it's not always, it's not the end. I tell the devil, you don't have the last word in my life. Amen. So you might have took a good shot at me, but this is not the last word in my life. Amen. You know, I've seen this before and I'm coming out of it again. Amen. Amen. You got to fight back. Don't close your mouth when you work with the devil. You have to talk to him. He said, I see you. And you can't just sit back and let the devil beat you and intimidate you and make you fearful. No, you have to fight back. Get up. Get back up. And don't allow anything to stop you. It's not okay to be lazy. I got about 5 more minutes. I'll wrap this up. So, you know, sometimes at churches I went to before, I thought it would never end. But sometimes, you know, sometimes your hope never ends. Like going to a movie or bingo, you stay there all day long. Okay, so things that we seem so insignificant to us sometimes are the most important things to God. Things that are not important to us are important to someone else. If we obey God, somebody else gets blessed. And we don't always have to get the accolade. Oh, wonderful, you did a great job. Thank you for helping that old lady. Thank you for giving that $5 bill. We don't need that. We have to look at it that God sees what we do. God looks at us, and our reward will come out in a way that's going to be more spectacular than somebody say, oh, wonderful guy, that, what a wonderful person that is. Let somebody else blow your trumpet. Let somebody else blow your horn. God will allow that when somebody else does it for you. So, Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, conceited, self-important, or exclusive, but associate with humble people, those with realistic self-views. Do not overestimate yourself or your importance. Because sometimes we think we're so important that we cannot do little things. Sometimes I find myself driving in the city, going to pick up Pampers with a single mom. And I was just interviewing somebody on television, acting like a big shot. Woo-hoo! And here I am helping somebody at Detox or wherever place we went to. Helping the children. You know, we can be so up there that we can't do things because we think we're so important. Let me do the important job. No, we have to, if we're going to go forward with God, he's got things to do. I heard this, that little, big people will do little things. If we're going to go forward. We have to value these things. Skill alone is not going to do it. Jesus said that good and faithful servant, he didn't say good and talented person. Matthew 26:1, he said good and faithful servant, not talented person, not educated person, but faithful servant. Value it a little. Whatever you get, value the treasure what you get from the Lord. The opportunities and open doors will be there. Count it as a privilege to serve wherever God tells you to serve. Not just leading the thing or position, but serving somebody, even somebody that you might not like. You might not like the great personality, but you have to love them. Matthew 16:10 says, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. Amen. Jesus said that. If you're dishonest in little things, you'll be honest in greater responsibilities. Luke 16:10, New Living. So just, you know, take what opportunities are there for God. Whatever door God gives you to opens your door this year to go forward, it might be something that might be so significant. What's this, Lord? I thought there was going to be like a big gang of people here. Maybe one person shows up at a meeting and you started. I remember years ago, I started at what they call an Alateen group. And I would show up every Sunday night. I'd show up every Sunday night with this Alateen group. And I would just open up the meeting. I would just get the kids, get it ready for the kids. I was driving home the other day, and one of the kids that I used to work with in the 80s sends me a note on my messenger. Pastor Roma was watching the program. And I thank God. I thank what you're doing, what's happening. Is this the King James Version? Is this the same one we read in our church? I said, yeah, it's the same one. It's good to hear somebody that I touched when they were a young kid. And I have one boy that talks to me regularly in the city. He's from a prominent family in the city. And he talks to me all the time. Watches what we're doing. It's amazing. How just a little thing. I thought, who's going to think about this, you know? Just not too many people coming to this meeting. But just one time, these kids showed up. Started coming. They keep coming. And they got friends for life. These Alateen kids, they grew up in alcoholic homes. So don't look back, look forward. So as the last verse of scripture here, let's close with this. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 12. So whatever you look at long enough, you'll turn to. Be careful what you look at in life. What you habitually take time to look at, eventually you will long for and go to it. Even if it's not a healthy situation. The Israelites were going, they were saying, let us die in the wilderness. They were brought out of bondage. God brought them out. They were going through the wilderness. And they started listening to the titter-tatter of the enemy in their ear. Because as you're going along, maybe you're having a hard time. Maybe it's not the best place right now, but you're listening and the devil said, no, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. When you hear that, you know you're going to make it. You know you're going to make it. He's a liar. So, look at this. Exodus 14, 10 to 12. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up, and they panicked and saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? No, God asked this man to do this job. But those people were looking to Moses and said, why did you bring us out here? You know, we tend to blame people for God leading us, leading people. You know, God's leading us. God asked me to lead this thing, to go in a certain direction. Sometimes it might not look so great, but God asked me to go this direction. He promised me. He said, everything you do will be successful. That's what God promised me. From Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. He told me that. And he says, weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Now they're getting very sarcastic. You know? We get sarcastic with God and people around us, you know. Hey, I thought you're a Christian. I thought you're a word of faith people, whatever, you know. We get sarcastic. He said, what have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Hello? Hello? God told him to bring those people out. Egypt was nothing but death for those people. They came out healed, money in their pockets, happy, rejoicing, and they're going through the desert all together. They were in bondage. Some of them had severed fingers and eyes taken out and everything. They were all, when they came out, they were all healed. Not one finger was missing. They were all well. God put them back together after they ate the meal. And they came out. And he said, what you did to us? Why'd you bring us out of Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? See, they didn't want to leave. Just like a lot of people don't want to leave somewhere to go where God wants them to go. He says, leave us alone. Let us be slaves in Egypt, to Egypt. It's better for us to be slaves in Egypt than to be corpses in the wilderness. They had a negative attitude about where God was going to lead them. leaving Egypt, they were headed to freedom in the land of promise. They were healed, financially blessed. And Moses, verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which I will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see no more forever. He's saying this, if you follow me, the sickness that you was plaguing you, you'll see it no more. The problems that you have when you follow me, you're going to see it no more. I know someone who was dying, had that problem. God said to him, look at the scripture. The sickness you have, you're going to see it no more when you come out of Egypt. And follow me. God says, if you follow me, I'm going to heal you. He didn't heal you to go back into the, you know, to Egypt. He didn't heal you to go back to the old place, to look back. He healed you to look something new that he's going to do. Amen. He says, for the Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. The Lord said to Moses, wherefore cries thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, go forward. Go forward. We're going to go forward, folks. They say, I'm going forward. Let's all stand up. Praise God. Praise God. While you're standing up, I want to just say one thing about this as well. Go forward. Listen, you can't go forward hanging around the same places, going with the same crowd. Because the Bible says the Israelites, when they were going across to the wilderness, they started picking up people along the way. Hello, are you here? As the Israelites came out of Egypt, as they're going through different territories, they started picking up people along the way. And guess what? When the people started coming into that camp where the Israelites were and following with them as they went, they started murmuring in the people's ears. It started affecting them. You see that in the book of Numbers. So who you're with affects you. Where you hang around affects you. The people who you go back to affects you. People get healed sometimes at Faith City Church or somewhere and go back to the same old church that told them there was no healing. It's incredible. They come here, have a good message, you hear about a good positive message, and go back to the same place and expect to be. You can't. You got to be with positive people. Let's lift our hand. Father, thank you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're going forward and we're going to obey you no matter what it takes. Thank you, Lord God, for the word today. Thank you that you are leading and leading us in every way possible. So we are obedient to follow you. We cast ourselves before you humbly and say, God, may your will be done for us today. In 2017, whatever little thing you ask me to do, I'm going to do it without any complaints, without any fuss, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in envy of the crowd because of your blessing upon my life. Let every eye closed just for one second, please. If there's somebody in here that you need to come to Jesus Christ, you need to give your life to God tonight to go forward. Is there somebody here that say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm looking around right now. I want to ask people, whoever needs to come to Jesus today, Let me see that hand. Lift your hand way up high and wave it to me. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to pray for you right now, if that's you. Let me see that. Anybody? I see some hands up, but I don't know if that's you or not. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody? This person back here, anybody else? Besides this, anybody else? He said, I want to follow God 100% this time. As much as my 100% knows 100%, I'm going to follow God. Is that you? Get up here right now. I'm going to pray for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. In the name of Jesus, just get up right now. Come follow me right here. Stand right here. In Jesus' name, I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, young man. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lift your hands up. I saw hands earlier, but I don't know if that's you or not. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You're coming. You're standing today and saying, God, I'm going to follow you. I'll follow you, Jesus Christ. Are you born again, sir? One time you're born again, just all you have to do today is say, Jesus, I want to turn to you again. I'm going to follow you today. Say, I'm giving you my life 100%. I'm going to do what you said to do. I want to follow what you said to follow. I'm going to stick with the good people. In Jesus' name, I believe I'm born again because I believe in you, Jesus. You're my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Buddy, it's a brand new day today. Let's give this guy a hand. Woo! What is your name?
Larry.
Larry?
Harry.
Harry, have you been here before? This is your first time. He's a first-time guest, guys. Give him a hand. Woo! Praise God. I want to give you some books. I want to bless you. Follow this man over here, guy, Pastor Ken, and he's going to bless you with something, okay? Bless you. Yeah, make sure you take his name down. I want his name. Write his name. Whatever he has. Father, bless you guys. Have a wonderful afternoon. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.